from education to employment and everything in between.
It's a clearinghouse for all things shale.
This is the Shale Gas News with Bill DeRozier, Rusty Fender, and Matt Henderson.
Good morning and welcome to the Shale Gas News. I'm Bill DeRozier. Joining me in studio, DC Taylor. How are you doing today, DC?
Hi, Bill. Good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm calling in from the beautiful backwoods of Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Our BRO chief down that way, Matt Henderson. Good to have you on today.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, DC. It's good to be here, Matt. In a beautiful fall day.
I mean, it's been a crazy week, huh? You know, you got snow up in Pennsylvania. You got beautiful weather down in Florida, all over the place, across the board. The Shale Gas News is I feel like we're going countrywide eventually one of these days.
We're all we'll over the place. We're spread out.
Well, not much has changed since our last broadcast. The election officially still hasn't been called. Biden has been going by president-elect. President Trump continues to, you know, challenge various states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia. So don't really have much report on that in this part of the show. But we do have a lot of stories as it relates to the gas industry. Or Matt, do you have something to share?
Well, just a tidbit of fun facts, I guess, is they are hosting the Pennsylvania President Trump's challenge at the federal court is here in Williamsport. So they had a circus during the week down there with people both pro-Trump and anti-Trump kind of going back after each other. It was a chilly day, so they didn't stick around too long. But Williamsport became kind of the focal point of the Pennsylvania challenge that, as you mentioned, is still ongoing. But some excitement for Williamsport, you know, this time.
And I'm glad you mentioned it. I forgot about that. Did you partake? Did you go down to the mean streets of Williamsport?
I observed from a distance just to see what was going on. So I think when Giuliani came, it was, excitement for people seeing somebody,
I will say people are probably missing the Little League World Series this year. So he, you know, he kind of gets the what do they call him, the Grand Marshal of the parade?
Exactly. Yeah, he was the big news for Williamsport for this year, an absence of the parade. So good point.
Well, I'll leave that one in your hands. You'll keep us updated as Williamsport in Pennsylvania becomes a focal point there. Not too much that I was seeing from a state standpoint. I believe session is back because the budget remains unfulfilled, or rather completed. We passed a budget to get us through November. I thought it was odd given the decision to wait till after the election. I mean, obviously nobody wanted to get tied into the election, but here we are now fighting to figure out how the next couple of months are going to be completed and or funded. Now, I believe, Matt, you corrected me that there was a 12-month budget passed. It just wasn't fully funded, right?
Right. So, but to your point, it's still the fight of what's going to get funded. So, yeah, and correct. We do have a 12-month budget in place, but it is an odd time, as you mentioned. You know, typically a non-session, you know, post-election just because of the turnover. But as you said, it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do because, you know, the budget shortfalls, I believe, are kind of a little bit worse off than expected. You know, early on when they did pass the budget, and I guess really it was a 5-month spending plan, maybe we'll call it that, you know, the schools and some of the more critical institutions were funded through the year so they could at least plan as they move forward. But it's going to be interesting. I mean, politics in Harrisburg have been interesting this fall through, you know, some of the leadership elections and, you know, challenges down there from, you know, even internal to the Republican Party. So interesting times, you know, as we can hope is, you know, things come out okay. You know, when we look at, you know, from school funding and, you know, the nonprofits, we know they've been hit hard with this pandemic, not just from a, you know, revenue or, you know, resource coming in, but also an increased cost, you know, and as we continue on through the, you know, through the pandemic, I know we're seeing the schools in my area and where my kids are going, I'm sure, you know, it's across the state, you know, having to increase some of the, you know, social distancing, you know, some of the classrooms and the lunchrooms are putting more of the dividers up just to try to slow the spread out. So, It'll be interesting to see as it slowly unfolds. And of course, we'll keep everybody up to date here.
It certainly will. And I'm sure as they talk through how to fill the budget gap in Harrisburg, severance tax will rear its ugly head again. But I think the election where some were saying a blue wave was coming of the Democrats in Pennsylvania House and Senate and or taking back the majority will basically prevent that from happening, since the Republicans have signaled they're not interested in another tax on the oil and gas producers. Then the question, I believe, rears its head is also marijuana and legalizing recreational use and or taxing that. I think it's too big of a topic to address in a kind of a lame duck at the end of the year, kind of figuring out the next couple of months budget season. So I think that one's going to get pushed till next spring. What are your thoughts on that one, Matt?
You know, I definitely agree with you there. I think that's both of those topics are going to be delayed. But as you mentioned, they are going to rear their heads again. And, you know, speculation here completely. And I think we all hear the rumors. But, you know, I guess the what if, you know, what if our current Governor Wolf moves on, you know, with the new administration or the presumed new administration and our lieutenant governor becomes the acting governor, I guess. And we know where some of his thoughts are about marijuana legalization and so forth. So it could be an interesting 2021, 2022 if, some things fall in place out there. But to your point, another tax on the industry, severance tax is not going to, the topic doesn't go away. We hear, and as you know, especially here in the Northeast, we always hear about, natural gas is up $2, $2.50, $3. And, as we've talked numerous times here, people don't get the differential just amongst in the basin, where we see gas sub $1 or $1.50, sometimes good days. And, it's definitely not an added cost the industry can sustain at this point, especially with a lot of the other forces out there, market conditions and so forth. So let's hope that doesn't get too far down the discussion. And like I said, we'll see what 21 brings.
Oh, it certainly will. We got a couple of news stories here to share. Oil and gas production rising in North Dakota, but future is murky. Star Tribune reports that North Dakota posted a solid hike in petroleum output in September, while the industry now faces, or rather races, to start new wells before pro-oil President Trump leaves office. Still, the oil and gas outlook in North Dakota and the rest of the U.S. is murky as oil prices remain depressed amid COVID-19 economic impacts. September production was up about 5% on the oil side, which is good news, according to North Dakota's Department of Mineral Resources. LNG recap, U.S. exports still strong, leading global gains. And I think that's a position that we should all embrace. And it'll be curious to see what happens under a Biden administration if the LNG export market remains strong, expands, or decreases. NGI reports that U.S. liquefied natural gas exports remained strong as the week got underway, with feed gas deliveries holding near record highs of about 10 billion cubic feet per day. The ongoing strength in domestic cargo departures helped push global exports to their highest level in 6 months through October. And data intelligence from Kepler said last week global exports stood at about 307 million tons year to date through October, and that's up about 5 million tons over the same period of last year. Again, folks, anywhere we can export a product, we should embrace that. It helps grow the economy, and it's a product that people need. Final U.S. offshore oil auction under Trump will test industry demand. The Trump administration on Wednesday will offer all available areas in the Gulf of Mexico for auction to oil and gas companies in its final offshore sale before the January inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden, a Democrat who has pledged to ban new drilling on federal lands and waters. The Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, an arm of the Interior Department, will offer about 78 million acres off the coast of Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama for oil and gas development. It will be interesting to see who locks those up and or what they're willing to pay for them. And advisors to Minnesota regulators resign over pipeline permitting process. Nearly three quarters of a panel tasked with advising the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency on environmental justice issues resigned in protest Monday after the agency granted a critical water quality permit to Enbridge Incorporated's Line 3 oil pipeline project. I just got to say, like, let's go back to that one, Matt. Minnesota Pipeline Pollution Control Agency on environmental justice issues. To me, it seems like that organization only has one job, and that's to stop any and all development. Why would you create an organization like that?
Yeah, imagine that business card. You know, that's a mouthful out there. But you're right. Kind of jumping back, it ties in with this. You mentioned about exporting LNG. You know, it's just a fun fact here. I was discussing this on a panel here a week or two ago, and we look at exporting, and it is, for some reason, that can be controversial. Why are we exporting this resource? We all know we have plenty of the resource here in the United States. Of course, we have issues. You know, we can't build pipelines and move it from A to B where it needs to go. But when we look at what the impact is on the deficit, the trade deficit, which, you know, I don't know that a whole lot of people track that and know what that means to, you know, our security. But petroleum products, back in 2008, we were at the high point of exports, about $412 billion a year. Petroleum products importing. Our net import was $412 billion. We flash forward to last year, our net imports was $13.7 billion. So, I mean, we're still always going to import just due to, you know, pipelines and, you know, locations, et cetera, and, you know, heavy oil, you know, heavy crude, light crude, and so forth. But you know, it's had a $400 billion net positive impact on our trade deficit. And I just think, you know, that gets lost in the discussion sometimes, what impact that has to the, you know, U.S. dollar, our foreign, you know, trade battles or policy, and as we deal with some of these countries out there. So I think, you know, the exporting part of it is a big area that's, as we know, it's really just ramping up because, you know, it took 5-7 years for these facilities to be built and turn them around from importing and so forth. So, like I said, I just think that something gets lost out there. And I always like when there's numbers or something that backs that up. And I know it adds to our national security and, like I said, gives us more, you know, global bargaining powers out there. So I just wanted to put that that fact out there. It's not a Rusty Fender fast fact, but it's a Matt fast fact. How we go with that?
Well, we appreciate those fast facts. And as Rusty joins us right now, why don't we jump over to Fender's fast facts?
And Bill, thanks. And coming up this week on the 23rd is the anniversary of the biggest jump in the sales of mobile phones, cell phones. Now, DC, I had an NEC, a Nippon Electronics Corporation, NEC Portable in 1988. When it was $1,500 for the phone, it was as big as a walkie-talkie, and it was almost $5 a minute whether you received a call or whether you made a call. So yeah. Just think about that. But sure. I was working in New York, and my company paid for the cell service, thank the Lord, for most months and all that. But things have really come a long way now when you just get on and dial Antarctica, you know, it just... Just, you know, with your
just
area.
On your plan, yeah. It's just on your plan and unlimited plans.
Exactly, unlimited everything. Common. As yeah. we know, the way that works, 1988 is a very, very long time ago.
Uh-huh.
So, some interesting facts, because in 1993, on the 23rd, 10 million phones were sold in 1993. So that was the turning point as far as affordable cellular and mobile car phones. Okay. 1993, just so you know that. All right. Some interesting facts, DC. 6.8 billion people live on this planet. Only 3.5 billion of them use toothbrushes, but 4 billion use mobile phones. So most people have horrible breath when they use that cell phone. Okay. It's true. 91% of all adult users of mobile phones will have their phones within 6 feet of them 24 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
These are great statistics, uh-huh. aren't they?
Yep. Yep.
In America, internet is accessed, believe it or not, only through mobile phones by only 50% of the mobile users of this nation. It's still down to computers, usually in the office or at home.
Wow.
I would think differently on that one. 82% of adults of America own and use a mobile phone. Mm-hmm. 92 in the United Kingdom.
Wow.
So they're more technically astute in the United Kingdom, UK. Including Ireland.
Okay.
In the United States, 50% of all mobile subscribers now have smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, it is 40, and in the UK, it is 49%. So we beat them on that one. We all know that the smartphone that you're using now has 61 times more computing power than computers that landed man on the moon with Apollo 11. And we certainly know that fact.
Right.
Compared to toilet handles, mobile phones have 180 times more bacteria.
Of course.
So it's one of those things where we know that. Radiation from a mobile phone can lead to health conditions like confusion, headache, and the biggest malaise from a mobile phone, insomnia. How about that?
Insomnia.
Insomnia. How about that?
Huh, okay.
That's a very interesting fact.
All right.
And, of course, mobile phones. The first mobile phones came out in 1983 for your car, 1983. Wow. Nokia made the first phones for your car. DC, in 1983, what did a car phone cost for your car? 1983.
Let's say, I know you said in 88 you spent, yours was like $1,500.
That's correct.
I'd say if we go back 5 years before that, $4,000
on the dot. Once again, you are absolutely unbelievable. $4,107 for a Nokia car phone with the little kind of porky pig curly Q antenna on the back window.
I was going to say when you saw the limos with the little looked like a little stealth bomber on the trunk lid.
That too. Okay. Well, that was another transmit receive antenna as well with the little V on the back. Whatever. Uh-huh, yeah. That is correct.
But I also ran the little curly Qs
to the pigtails. Yeah. Absolutely. $4,000 cell phones have come a long way. $4,000 really good DC. And those are the fun facts. 1993, the biggest jump in cell phone, and we just keep on climbing, Bill.
Thanks, Rusty, for your Fender's Fast Facts. We appreciate them. We're going to take a quick break on the Shale Gas News. Stay tuned for more after a word from our sponsors.
Why are natural gas pipelines important?
The most efficient and effective way to safely move natural gas is through a pipeline system.
We're constantly monitoring our systems and making sure that we're operating in the most reliable and, most importantly to me, the safest manner possible.
This system, over its life, is 99.9997% safe.
Cabot Oil and Gas Corporation, producing abundant opportunities.
There's plenty of time to get your new roof installed before winter with Green Rhino Builders. Call 844-900-GREEN now to get your free estimate. They service all of Northeast PA. Green Rhino Builders can meet you in person, video chat, or even speak over the phone. They can even get you an estimate without stepping foot on your property. Call 844-900-GREEN now to get your free estimate. That's 844-900-GREEN now to get your free estimate. Green Rhino Builders can even finance your new roof for as low as $79 per month. Does your roof have damage that may have been caused by the weather? Green Rhino Builders is the first company in NEPA to work with all of the major insurance companies and can help you get your replacement roof for only the cost of your insurance deductible. Call 844-900-GREEN now to get someone from Green Rhino Builders out to your home to inspect your roof. Call Green Rhino Builders, 844-900-GREEN, for your free estimate today. Online at greenrhinobuilder.com.
It's always a good time for Greenlee's Barbecue.
For all your meat eating needs.
Pulled pork, ribs, brisket, chicken thighs, grilled chicken planks, ribeye steaks, salmon burgers, and beef burgers, plus salads and side dishes delivered or for catering at your weddings, company parties, and other crazy soirees, you crazy kids. GreenleesBBQ.com. Greenlee's Barbecue, Route 6, Tunkhannock. Look for the school bus next to Keystone Truck Caps. Greenlee's Barbecue.
Yeah, the benefits are very good. The benefits are all day one here. The dental health, vision, everything is top notch. Everything is very good.
Drivers wanted.
The 401k plan, we have a 6% matching program. The medical, there's a health spending account, and you could use that for co-pays. You could use that for prescription drugs. You could use that for anything just to help along with deductibles. And then you could put in from your paycheck, it's tax exempt, you could put in so much bi-weekly, and then that helps out too, because it is before taxes. So.
If you're looking for steady year-round work with a company that cares about you and your family, at GDS, you will drive locally and be home after every shift. Get all the details and advance your career with GDS, a division of Cabot Oil and Gas, where you'll drive the newest fleet on the road.
The steady schedule, The 4-2 schedule for a driver, a 4-2 schedule is great.
Gas Search Drilling Services. Get the phone number at gassearchdrilling.com.
Cabot Oil and Gas partners with the Weinberg Food Bank to battle food insecurity in Northeast PA.
It's the partnership of foundations and the companies like Cabot that really enable us to be successful.
Gene Brady, president of the Weinberg Food Bank.
We are very blessed. Those regions that have the presence of the gas industry in this area really enables us with things like Fill Glass with Hope, Hunter Share the Harvest, other donations that traditionally have been made to help food banks in their mission to end hunger in Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Shale Gas News. It gives me great pleasure to welcome on our esteemed guest, a colleague in the industry, a titan of the natural gas industry here in Northeast Pennsylvania, Mike Narkavage of Southwestern Energy. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. Good morning, Bill. Thank you. That was an introduction that I don't deserve.
Well, this was a momentous occasion. I haven't really even talked to you much, buddy. COVID has really wrecked our social schedules, if you will. The last time I saw you was in passing a few weeks ago, but prior to that, we usually worked on projects every week because Cabot and Southwestern and a few of the other energy companies regularly, you know, contributed and partnered on stuff, and we're just missing that kind of interaction. But I'm glad to have you on the program today.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Well, why don't we jump in and just give us a little overview of what's going on with your company in Northeast Pennsylvania and maybe even across Appalachia.
Sure. So, where we're at in Northeastern Pennsylvania, obviously COVID has taken its toll on a lot of things. But we've stayed pretty robust. We had four rigs running at one point this summer and two frac crews. Right now, currently, we're down to one rig running and one frac crew going, you know, and SWN is a little bit different for us, because we have our own fleet of rigs, so we can remain a little nimble and, lay it down or start it back up, when we need to. So that's an advantage for us, in having that flexibility in the field, depending upon prices, and how prices span across basins, as well as the price of gas and liquids. We have that flexibility of moving rigs from one play to another. We've always said rigs are on wheels and they can go anywhere. And that's true, because we saw that this year when the price of oil tanked. We were able to get some more activity in Northeast, what we call Northeast Appalachia, Northeast Pennsylvania. So that's been good from our standpoint, that we've been able to be flexible in the field.
Well, and I think that it also helps illustrate the fact that your company is in Appalachia, but on multiple sides of Appalachia, having Southwest PA and West Virginia acreage and maybe even a little bit in Ohio. So you have a little bit of diversity in where you operate in the Marcellus, in addition to, of course, the Northern Tier and Northeast PA where you operate.
Correct. Yep. We span the Marcellus play from Northeastern Pennsylvania to West Virginia, a little bit in Southwestern Pennsylvania in Washington County. And then recently picked up some additional acreage in Ohio as part of an acquisition.
Hey, Mike, if you could talk a little bit about that. As you mentioned, you have the diversity and you can move your rigs around. Obviously, we've seen a decrease with the people traveling, flying, and so forth. So a lot less use of petroleum products, but you mentioned in Ohio and Southwest, but you guys had some exciting news, I would say, with the merger here or acquisition here earlier this year. I think it just went through here maybe a week ago, but maybe you could tell listeners a little bit about that.
Sure. So, unconventional times call for unconventional actions, right? You're taking a look at a pandemic, but also, your business model and your business plan has to move forward. And, one thing that Southwestern was looking for was to bring additional acreage into our fold in Appalachia. We're 100% focused right now as a company in Appalachia. But to bring more acreage in some of that good Marcellus and or Utica rock that we can bring value to our shareholders and our stakeholders in the communities where we operate. So earlier this year we had some conversations with Montage Resources, and we just closed on the deal on November 12th, where we acquired roughly almost 800,000 net acres across Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Ohio to add to our already existing base in those states. And, you know, not much in Pennsylvania, in northeastern Pennsylvania. We got some bolt-on acreage or close to bolt-on acreage in Tioga County. There's one pad in Tioga County with two wells on it that are producing right now, and then additional acreage in Potter County, which is just to the west of Tioga County. So we picked up some acreage in our northeast Appalachia play, but the majority of the acreage that we picked up as part of that acquisition happened in Ohio. And Ohio, from an operations standpoint, is new to us, but there's some good rock there in Ohio, and we're excited and we're looking forward to what that brings for our future for our company.
Well, good. Like you said, I think definitely is exciting news. Some of the consolidation across the industry that I think a lot of people have been expecting and waiting on, and it's good to see, you know, some good operators moving in and purchasing. I think gives people some you know, some stability. But kind of moving beyond the operational side, we talked a little bit there. Bill was mentioning about the pandemic and COVID. It definitely has changed, you know, the face of how we all do business, and especially from an outreach perspective, and you know, dealing with. You know, as we come up on the holiday season, you know, typically we're doing, you know, press events for, you know, hunters sharing the harvest. We're out doing, you know, food banks, food and you know, buying gifts and stuff. So just curious, what are you guys doing as a company, and maybe, you know, anything new or exciting as we go through the holiday season? We know the increase is there, or the needs there definitely, but maybe talk a little bit about some programs you guys have in place to, you know, some of your outreach efforts.
Sure. So, you know, what we saw obviously with the pandemic, and I don't recall the last time I was on the show, but the pandemic impacted our charitable events that we run. We run two throughout the year, one clay shoot in the spring, and then our golf tournament in the fall. And those two events usually net about $135,000 to go back into the community. And that's from, you know, from our vendors. Our vendors are the ones that step up to the plate and sponsor those events. So then in return, we can have that impact in the community. So we did not have that this year to be able to turn back into the community. So what we did, we took the dollars that we would normally put to run that event and took those dollars and then put them into the community with either enhanced donations to organizations that we usually donate to around the holiday time, or some new organizations that we haven't given to before, or we haven't given to in the past few years to help them get through the pandemic, because there's a need everywhere. So we did some additional giving in Lycoming County. We're currently drilling in Lycoming County. Right now, we haven't had operations in Lycoming County in a few years. So we looked at American Rescue Workers out there, you know, talk to Senator Yaw's office and the county commissioner's office to get some ideas of where we can have the biggest impact. So we made some new donations out in Lycoming County. And then some other things that we did, we got all of our holiday kind of giving out the door already. And what we did was we basically bumped up the money that we normally give to CEO and Weinberg for the Thanksgiving program in Wyoming County. And we've given we've bumped up our donations to Interfaith, both in Susquehanna County and in Wyoming County. They do a tremendous job. And specifically Cindy up in Cindy Beeman up in Susquehanna County. I know Bill and Cabot and a few other operators helped them out, but Cindy does so much for so many people that, you know, we know when we make a donation to Interfaith that it's going to be put to good use because there is such a need due to the pandemic. I mean, even pre-pandemic, there was still a need. So those are the kind of things that we've done. Our employees did September was Hunger Action Month, and our employees participated in a food drive. Actually, they gave, you know, they donated dollars, and then Swim and matched the dollars that our employees donated. And then I went out and purchased bulk food per the request, because it had to be certain size cans packaged. It couldn't be individual cans. So we went out with those guidelines, and we donated and delivered that food to Helping Hands food pantry up in Wyalusing in October. So even with the pandemic, our company and our employees have been very generous. And, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for, even though prices are down and the industry is sluggish. You know, we haven't been impacted by the COVID crunch where our business has suffered or had to shut down. We've had some bumps along the way, but we feel it's the right thing to do for us to give back to the communities where we're operating. So we'll continue to do that.
Well, Mike, thank you for getting into that, because I was going to ask you a little bit about where your focuses have been and which organizations you support. I'd be remiss if I didn't give you kudos to Cindy Beeman, CEO Weinberg Organizations up in Northeast PA that we work closely with regularly. And they do a tremendous job serving those in need. And thank you for highlighting the fact that before COVID, there was a tremendous need, and COVID has only exacerbated that situation, but the work you guys are doing. I wanted to throw one more question out there. I noticed at Cabot, we're seeing a continuation of the generosity of our contractors that we've always seen, even through this difficult time. So as we've tried to organize and set up more support for those in need, again, the Cindy Beeman Organizations, Interfaith, and or CEO Weinberg, our contractors and vendors have stepped up, and I'm sure your guys have also. I just wanted to give you the opportunity to throw some love their way.
Yeah, sure, definitely. So like I said, we didn't have our clay shoot or our golf tournament this year. The one thing that Southwestern did was, you know, notifying, we were still holding out hope for the golf tournament, I guess, in August. But when it looked like, you know, things were not clearing up and that wasn't going to be a go, what we did was we reached out to our vendors that participate in our clay shoot and our golf tournament and said, hey, clay shoot's passed. We didn't have it. We're not going to have the golf tournament. We're hopeful to have it in 2021, but there's still a need out there. And, you've been charitable and giving to our events. It would be great if you can continue that charity, even though we're not having the events. And we listed, organizations, in every county where we operate that have been recipients of funds from those two charitable events in the past, and asked them to donate. And one that just comes to mind, is Resource Environmental. And, you know, I know they made a donation to Cindy Beeman up at Susquehanna Interfaith, as a result of our letting them know that our request to them to ask them to be charitable in light of not having those events. So Jerry Washo up at Resource Environmental was kind enough to take that message and then go to Cindy with it and make a donation. So we're thankful for our vendors, all of our vendors who took that message and donated back to the community without us having those charitable events.
Oh, well, and great, great shout out there to Resource Environmental. Great folks over there. Jerry's a friend of mine. I actually met Jerry before I started working at Cabot. I've been at Cabot almost 9 years now. So I've known Jerry and his team there for easily 10, 12 years now. So really exciting stuff. Well, Mike, I want to thank you for joining us here on the program. We always appreciate your insights and your support, especially of the community across all of the operational territories that you're working in, including now Lycoming. I didn't even know you guys were down there. But I wanted to give you a last minute to share where people might be able to contact you or find out more information about your company, what you guys are doing.
Sure. So thanks, Bill. As a result of COVID, our office is not accepting any visitors. So if you're a landowner, you can just 570-996-4300 is the main number, and that'll get you through. Our website is swn.com. You can get information there, and there's phone numbers on our website as to how to get in contact with us. If you come to our office, you're not going to get turned away. You just won't be allowed in the office. We'll have to make some sort of arrangement to either talk with or meet with you. So landowners have been good with that. We've been trying to meet with landowners when possible if there's issues or if we're trying to lease. But just a reminder to call first before anybody, if you have an issue, makes a trek to our office only to get turned away. That's the last thing that we would want. So
Well, great. Well, Mike, I want to thank you again for joining us on the show, Gas News, and we won't wait so long to have you back on. Too much great stuff going on at your company, and we need to share that more regularly. And, you know, give me a shout sometime. I'd love to see you outside of work someday again, regardless of this COVID stuff, buddy. Maybe we'll even invite Matt Henderson over, too.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate that. And thanks, Mike, for all your, like I said, all your information and the great work you guys are doing.
No problem. I thank you, Bill, and you, Matt, for having me on the show today.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here on the Shale Gas News. Stay tuned for more after a word from our sponsors.
Do you know the power of America's energy security? Security that starts right here? The Marcellus Shale alone contains enough energy to meet our demand for the next 100 years. And that's just by today's estimates. If Pennsylvania were a country, it would be the fifth largest producer of natural gas in the world. All thanks to the incredible natural gas production right here in northeastern Pennsylvania. Cabot Oil and Gas Corporation, producing abundant opportunities.
Lindy Corporation is a pipeline and infrastructure company, and Lindy is proud to work in the Marcellus region, towns and cities, and beyond. Apply at lindyco.com. And remember, if Lindy wasn't hiring yesterday, chances are we will be hiring tomorrow.
Are you a truck driver looking to earn $1,000 to $2,100 a week with full benefits? Well, Eastern Freight Systems and Tunkhannock are seeking local, regional, and OTR drivers. They even have an oil field division with lanes based in both Tunkhannock and Pittston, PA. They're looking for motivated drivers who are looking to earn good money to join their team. A clean MVR with professional driver training or experience are required. Come join the growing team at Eastern Freight Systems by calling 570-836-8050.
If you're in construction or the gas industry, your team's getting it done 24 hours a day, and so is BX3. When you're working, so is BX3. They're your prime connection to parts, tools, and equipment rentals. If they don't have it at their Montrose or Tunkhannock locations, they'll find it for you somehow, some way. Trust me, they know people who know people. They're the relentless problem solvers. Call BX3 in Tunkhannock, 836-3000. In Montrose, it's 278-7368. Again, Tunkhannock, 836-3000. Montrose, 278-7368.
We've now been partnering for a couple of years with Cabot to provide what we call Fill a Glass with Hope. In this past year, we served hundreds of kids, and we provided nutritious milk in a quantity of 6,462 half gallons. We're grateful, as are the hundreds of children that are receiving the benefits of the program as a result of what Cabot and its partners do.
For more information, go to wellsaidcabot.com.
Welcome to the Energy Update presented by the Institute for Energy Research for the week of November 23rd, 2020. I'm Alex Stevens, and I'm joined by IER's Deputy Director of Public Policy, Jordan McGillis. Jordan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Alex.
So there's a couple things we want to highlight for the listeners this week. Jordan, why don't you start us off?
Sure. So amid all of the discussion of the election in the United States, something that's been missed this month is that the U.S. has officially exited the Paris Climate Agreement. That occurred on Wednesday, November 4th, after a couple of years of process were necessary following President Trump's decision to take the U.S. out in June of 2017. So this official exit has occurred. Now, of course, that was through executive action, and because that's how President Obama and then President Trump left it, it will be up to the president that is inaugurated in January of 2021 to decide if the U.S. goes back in. But what is Paris all about? The Paris Agreement is a multilateral convention on climate change. And what's fascinating about the discussion is that it often overlooks that Paris has no binding element to it. Each country comes up with their own plan, and effectively the other countries just rubber stamp that and say, yep, sounds good. So though the US's initial commitment, which is called an intended nationally determined contribution, was rather stringent, President Obama signed the US up for roughly 25% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. China's, for example, enables that country to continue to grow its emitting behavior until 2030. Some other countries have even less stringent policies. Pakistan's is my favorite. Pakistan's plan was to reduce its emissions after they peak, which, when you think about it, really says nothing. Everyone's emissions will decline after they peak. At any rate, the U.S. is now out. We might be going back in, but it's important to remember that this agreement is little more than a paper tiger. It requires each country only to make an on-paper commitment. It has no enforcement mechanism. And countries like China and other growing Asian economies will continue to utilize fossil fuel resources well into the future, as they should. And the U.S. should take that into account when we think about whether we want to be in such an agreement or not.
Yeah, and up on the blog, you've published a collection of links that goes to a number of articles that yourself and some of the other staff here at IER has done on this topic over the past couple of years.
Yes, it's something we've been on since it was drawn up during the Obama administration. Robert Murphy did a lot of great work for us on it. David Kreutzer has done some good work. So we have a deep well of content on the Paris Agreement, and I welcome all listeners to check that out at instituteforenergyresearch.org.
Great. Yeah. And then the topic that I want to highlight for listeners, IER recently updated the Big Green Inc. Database. Big Green Inc. is a project that tracks billions of dollars of grant money going to thousands of environmental organizations, and it presents the information in the form of a map that people can click on individual states and look at who's receiving money and the sort of projects that they are receiving money for. So people who are concerned about the sort of sue and settle concerns around environmental policies and things, this tool is really nice for being able to see how those projects are being funded and where the money is flowing at sort of the state level. And in Pennsylvania in particular, there's over $270 million going to 273 groups, many of which have worked for the past several decades to hamper and in some cases try to destroy the coal and natural gas industries. So strongly encourage our listeners to check out that project, that update. Again, that project can be found at our website, instituteforenergyresearch.org.
Safe are natural gas pipelines.
Pipelines are the safest, most reliable way to move gas. In fact, you really can't move natural gas any other way. You can't get to a home. You can't get to a manufacturing facility without the use of a pipeline.
The amount of savings a customer is seeing is on average $2,000 a year. Think about that, $2,000 in savings.
Cabot Oil and Gas Corporation, producing abundant opportunities.
Environmental protection affects you no matter what industry you serve. Oso Wash provides the only certified clean solution you should trust for your vehicles. Oso is the only certified oil and gas industry clean tank washing facility in Northeast PA that's available 7 days a week. If it could get dirty, Oso can clean it. They're about 6 miles north of Tunkhannock off of Route 29 on Aldovan Road. 570-996-WASH and find them on Facebook. They are Oso Wash.
Are you looking for work in the gas industry? Linde Corporation is always looking for good people. Apply at lindeco.com. Linde installs water lines, sewer lines, and gas lines. We're busy in the Marcellus region. Apply for your next career at lindeco.com.
It's always a good time for Greenlee's Barbecue.
For all your meat-eating needs.
Resist the understandable urge to drink their award-winning sauces straight from the bottle.
Although if that's your thing, we won't judge.
Greenlee's bold and spicy Pure Rebel Sauce, Ozark Hillbilly Sauce, and sweet and tangy Premium Finishing Sauce. Handcrafted and homemade.
Yummy.
You can order the sauces online and drool over the menu, too. Greenlee'sBBQ.com. Greenlee's Barbecue, Route 6, Tunkhannock. Look for the school bus next to Keystone Truck Caps. Greenlee's Barbecue.
Why choose Lackawanna College? Lackawanna College can give you the start you need. Spend 2 years earning your degree and go right to work earning a great salary. With 29 degree programs in competitive industries like culinary and hospitality management, petroleum and natural gas, and sonography, Lackawanna College can help you find your future. Visit lackawanna.edu for more information on how to apply or contact the admissions office at 570-961-7814. Why choose Lackawanna College? If you're looking to get ahead in your career or start a new one, Lackawanna College's continuing education department offers a wide variety of certificate programs that are highly affordable and can help you get back to work quickly. Specialized training for workforce development and allied health careers is available, as well as the Lackawanna College Police Academy and the EMS Academy. Call 570-961-7813 for more information or visit lackawanna.edu. Find your future at Lackawanna College.
Cabot has been, you know, a fantastic corporate partner because they caught the vision. We have a goal to end hunger in Northeast Pennsylvania by 2025. Cabot's contribution is helping make that happen.
I live in Springville. I'm a landowner in Auburn Township. They've treated me with respect, my property with respect. They do an excellent job. Everything has been neat. There's never been anything out of place. Anything that they said they were going to do, they did. They came to you and told you what they were going to do. They gave you a timetable. They followed that timetable. Do not be afraid to invest with these people.
Industries like Cabot not only helped and lent their support to the Dietrich Theater, but they reached out and asked how they could help in other ways. Cabot has shown us that they want to invest in our community, that they're here to stay, and they want to support us for the long run.
For more information, go to wellsaidcabot.com.
Welcome back to the Shale Gas News. I'm DC Taylor, along with Bill DeRozier, Rusty Fender, and Matt Henderson. And coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll tell you all about jobs available in the gas industry and energy industries. And right now it's time for the top five stories of the past week. Each weekday, Marcellus Drilling News locates and shares news from the Marcellus and Utica Shale. Over 50,000 people read MDN each month, so we use it as a barometer to tell us which stories people find the most interesting. MDN editor Jim Willis compiles a list of the top stories each week. It's MarcellusDrilling.com, by the way. And this week we have, once again for you, a summary of the top five most read stories on MDN over the past 7 days. And coming in at number five last week, spot prices for Marcellus Utica natural gas in the basement. Dominion South, 30 cents per MCF.
Million cubic feet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rusty. We've been tracking the daily price of the NYMEX December futures contract at the South Louisiana Henry Hub on and off for the past few months. Yesterday, it closed down again at $2.86 per million cubic feet. However, the spot price for gas, actual physical gas bought and sold at various trading points along pipelines, has all but crashed and burned in the Marcellus Utica. It's bad, like historic record low bad. S&P Global Platts, in a recent article, says that Northeast, in other words, Marcellus Utica, spot gas markets will continue to face downward pressure in prices due to warmer weather forecasts and higher regional storage levels, at least for the foreseeable future. Too much gas not chasing enough demand results in low prices. Dominion South has sometimes been mentioned as a replacement for the Henry Hub, as the benchmark in natural gas prices, reflecting the change in the natural gas universe from Louisiana to Appalachia. We don't hear that kind of talk anymore. Dominion South traded around 30 cents, yes, 30 cents per million cubic feet over the past couple of days. Natural gas prices are consistently low, some of the lowest in the country in northeastern Pennsylvania, not far from where MDN is written, right? The trading hub is called the Tennessee Gas Pipeline Zone 4 Marcellus, which is the 300 leg between and including Compressor Station 315 in Tioga County, Pennsylvania, and Compressor Station 321 in Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania. Over the past few days, Tennessee Zone 4 has been trading at around 20 cents per million cubic feet. Ouch.
The big drop on that one. Yeah. DC, Kimball Royalty buys royalty payments from the Marcellus Utica landowners. This is number four. Kimball Royalty Partners, headquartered in Fort Worth, Texas, is a leading buyer of oil and natural gas, mineral and royalty interests, owning interest in more than 96,000 wells across 28 states, including wells in the Marcellus Utica region. Now, yesterday, the publicly traded company issued its third quarter 2020 update. We discovered some information about their involvement in the Marcellus Utica involving the Marcellus in northeastern Pennsylvania. Kimball is similar to another company we've highlighted, Peregrine Energy Partners. Now, both companies buy future royalty payments from landowners and rights owners. The practice is not unlike companies that approach and pay lottery winners who receive payouts over a long period for life or for a period of years, with the lottery winning selling his or her future payments for a single lump sum now. By selling future royalty payments for a lump sum of money now, the landowner and rights owner will typically accept less than they otherwise would receive by continuing to get royalty checks over time. However, there are certain circumstances, terminal illness, payoff a debt, or retirement, when a landowner would have rather have as much money as they can get right now. Royalty purchasing companies like Kimball exist to oblige. We learned more about the extent of their ownership of rights in the Marcellus Unica by reviewing the latest slide deck, which we shared in this post. DC?
Okay, and you can, of course, you can see those on MarcellusDrilling.com. The third most popular story over the past week, ExxonMobil deciding the fate of XTO asset value in the fourth quarter. Last week, ExxonMobil issued its third quarter 2020 update. The company announced it is currently reviewing and making a decision about whether or not to write down, impair the value of its North American dry gas assets. In other words, XTO Energy. If it writes down the value of XTO assets, it will take a huge write down in value. Assets currently on the books at a value of $25 to $30 billion. Producers like Exxon are required to adhere to strict SEC rules, which with respect to reporting the value of their assets. Those assets cannot show up as assets of a certain value if a driller does not have a board-approved drilling plan for those assets, a plan to drill wells on the acreage in the next 5 years. Exxon's coming decision in the fourth quarter is about whether or not to drill wells over the next 5 years on their XTO dry gas acreage, including acreage in the Marcellus Utica. If they decide to not drill in the next 5 years, by law, the company must lower the stated value of the acreage and assets where they won't drill. The gas is still there and is still just as valuable to Exxon. What will have changed is that the gas will not contribute any revenue over the next 5 years, meaning Exxon has to restate on paper the value of the assets, write it down, in other words, impair the value. It's an accounting thing. The SEC wants the same standard for all companies, so there is no gray area. It must be black and white. You either have a plan to drill and will drill unless prevented by extraordinary circumstances, or you restate the value of the assets.
Big story, DC. Number two, shale energy, the biggest loser under the Biden-Harris administration. And this was expected. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been declared the victors of the election prematurely by the Democrat mainstream media. President Trump is rightly challenging massive voter fraud as of this recording and software glitches in vote tabulating software used in 28 states, which you won't read about in Democratic media. So it's not over yet. However, let's assume Biden and Harris seize power and occupy the White House, which seems the likely outcome. Their win means the decimation of the shale oil and gas industry in this country. Oil and gas are the biggest losers. This is what you voted for, America. We hope you enjoy the result. Let's assume Biden and Harris take the White House, but Republicans, by some miraculous act of God, hold on to a majority in the Senate. Even so, the oil and gas industry still faces an existential threat. Harris, who will become president at some point in the next 4 years as Biden is physically not up to the task, has pledged to ban all fracking, not just on federal lands. Whether she succeeds or not is irrelevant. She'll try, and the attempt itself will inflict heavy, irreparable damage. We know it's coming. We've seen this movie before during the Obama years with the coal industry. While natural gas certainly played a role in the decline of coal, it was Obama and his use of the EPA and other federal agencies that actually resulted in the loss of American coal industry. Biden and Harris would use the same playbook to kill natural gas as Obama-Biden used to kill coal. Watch for the EPA, FERC, and the Department of the Interior and other federal agencies to adopt new regulations that will strangle oil and gas in general and shale energy in particular. They won't need to pass a law to ban fracking. They will enact a de facto ban using regulatory agencies. And we've been saying this for the last 4 years, DC, on this program.
Yeah. And Now, the most the number one most popular story on MDN over the past week, Biden assault on ONG begins. New plan cuts natural gas use nationwide. That didn't take long. Following the Democrat media's declaration that Biden won, even though the election has not yet been certified as of this recording, Biden released a new energy transition, in quotes, plan this morning. This was just a few days ago. In the plan, Biden calls for cutting natural gas usage nationwide by electrifying everything and eliminating all non-carbon power production. His minions are gushing about how Biden will transform the EPA and other federal agencies away from, quote, dirty fossil fuels and to, quote, clean energy. Let the carnage begin. Biden released his transition plan a couple days ago for so-called climate change, by which he means man-caused global warming. In the plan, you will read about forced electrification of all home appliances and moving our energy sources to, quote, carbon-free by 2035. That's all code for the elimination of natural gas use in the United States. It won't be possible to end the use of all nat gas, but just attempting it, as Biden advocates in this plan, will devastate the industry. God help us all. Those are the top five stories thousands of people read this past week on MDN. If you'd like to keep track of the headlines each day, it's easy. Just sign up for MDN's free daily email at marcellusdrilling.com/email. Now time for the job segment. Your career, brought to you by Lackawanna College and their School of Petroleum and Natural Gas. Lackawanna College, where you go to find your future. Rusty?
Thank you, DC. And in Pennsylvania, Range Resources looking for a safety specialist level 2 and an operations technician headquartered in Canonsburg, the Pittsburgh area. Superior Energy Resources, a field supervisor based in Brockway. Seneca Resources Company, a foreman and a measurement technician out of Brookville. Gas field specialist looking for welders. That's out of Shinglehouse. Penn Energy Resources, a division order analyst out of Pittsburgh. Repsol, a G&A accountant out of Pittsburgh. Vineyard Oil and Gas Company, looking for an executive administrative assistant for the Northeast. Seneca Resources Company, looking for a foreman of communications. That's out of Liberty. And UGI Energy Services, an opening for a gas supply coordinator that will be headquartered in Wyomissing, right outside of Reading. In Ohio, Northeast Ohio Natural Gas Corporation, a gas distribution pipeline operator out of Strasburg. Emory Oleochemicals, looking for an instrument technician out of Cincinnati. Halliburton, the big drilling name, looking for an operator assistant level 2 for their cementing and surface solutions division out of Zanesville. Utility Technologies International, a pipeline welding inspector, must be familiar with shielded metal arc and flux core stick. That's out of Groveport. The Energy Cooperative, looking for a compliance specialist out of Hebron. Husky Energy, a supervisor opening for the entire Buckeye State of Ohio. Panhandle Oil Field Service Companies, looking for an inspection helper based in Cambridge. And the Kimball Companies, looking for roustabouts and general labor out of Dover. Now in West Virginia, Energy Land and Mineral Incorporated, an opening for a gas and oil laborer outside of Buchanan. A Progressive Global Energy, an oil field equipment operator headquartered in Morgantown. Action Technology, a natural gas documentation specialist headquartered in Bridgeport. Littman Excavating, a field safety assistant headquartered in New Martinsville. Blue Racer Midstream, a PSM coordinator, also headquartered in New Martinsville. Daxton Irving, a title abstractor out of Morgantown. And Energy Land and Mineral Incorporated has an opening for an oil and gas spotter. That's out of Buchanan. In New York State, Suitcoat Company, looking for a commodity purchasing analyst headquartered in Cortland. Sandbox Logistics and Administrative Assistant, the openings in Waverly. General Oil Equipment, a welder out of West Amherst near the Buffalo area. Golder Associates, a geologist, must be a PG, that's professional geologist out of Gettysville. Percheron LLC, a land management opening for the entire state of New York. New York Power Authority, an assistant gas scheduling opening. It's out of White Plains, Westchester County. And Halo Land Management, a title examiner and abstractor for the gas and oil unit. That's headquartered in Binghamton. And those are the jobs this week, as D.C. Taylor mentioned, of course, sponsored by Lackawanna College, the School of Petroleum and Natural Gas. Lackawanna College, where you go to find your future. And we thank you each and every week for listening to the Shale Gas News right here on our network of stations, Gem 104, and online all the time at talkwilliamsport.com. We'll see you back here same time, same stations next week for the Shale Gas News. For Bill DeRosia, Matt Henderson, D.C. Taylor, I'm Rusty Fender. Thank you for listening to the Shale Gas News right here.